You're on Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Fiona.
Hey, Jill.
You know what I want to do?
What do you want to do?
Because, and I realized this at 5 o'clock this morning when I was working on the Mayan energies of today.
And you can also find those on Earth Tribe Radio Facebook.
Facebook. You just go on Facebook and type out Earth Tribe Radio, and I put out the Mayan astrology every morning. So this morning, it was a beautiful pairing of, just to say, the number 5 and the energy of Kimi. And 5 is many things, but 5 is the natural cycles and rhythms. It's the natural time. It's the timing. So, like they say, we have 5 fingers on each hand, we have 5 toes, we have 5 senses, unless we get our 6th sense activated. And that is, these are normal rhythmic cycles. And Kemé is the natural rhythmic cycle of birth, death, rebirth, death. It's the natural cycle. And the teaching that comes from this is if we find our own natural rhythm, we become incredibly empowered. You know, we're connected with what I call the old ones, the ancestors, which is what Kemé is, in the natural cycle, the natural rhythm. And I realized today as I was writing this on our Facebook page, is how many of us are running to somebody else's timing of things, whether it's your job or your family or your cats need to be fed at this time or whatever. You just check in with the rhythm that you are working in. And I could call up a friend of mine who's having such a hard time right now, and she is totally outside her rhythm. Her natural rhythm is being torn apart by stress and threats and bankruptcy and all sorts of things. And I was thinking how wonderful it would be if, regardless of whether it was 5 Kimé or not 5 Kimé, whatever day in the Mayan calendar it is if we can just pause for a minute and find our own rhythm. We each have our very own unique rhythm. And in this rhythm, we are connected to all past elders, old ones, ancient ones, ancestors, plants, stones, minerals, food, people, the earth. We're connected to everything. We're connected to everything. And we can find that if we just stop and pause and find our breath. How it feels natural for us to breathe. How it feels natural for us to think. How the pause between thoughts, maybe. So that we get to, I'm just doing it right now, just talking to you. I am slowing down quite considerably. So it takes away any sort of stress I'm in. And then, of course, because I feel me. I feel me and rooted to the earth and anchored with our Mother Earth and connected to all around me. I can be as slow or as fast as my rhythm is right now and needs to be. And it's honest rhythm. It's natural, honest rhythm.
And that's really hard for most people, though, because from the time that we go to school, it's a very difficult thing to connect with our natural rhythms because, you know, we race to get to school, then we have to have a break at this time, we have to have a break at that time. Yeah. And I know there are many schools now that are changing this so that there's more flexibility in the schoolroom. But on average, most of us have had to do whatever rhythm other people thought it was. And that's so that people could teach people at the same time and do work at the same time. And, you know, I liked in Australia, I don't know if they do it here, but public servants used to be able to anyway, make their own hours. As long as they put in that amount of hours, mm-hmm. they could come at this hour, leave at that hour, take breaks, as long as they put in whatever many hours they were supposed to per week.
I think it's becoming more so now that people can work from home.
Oh, yeah.
There's the challenging is that we become more isolated when we're not working in a group of people. But and the upside is that we begin to feel our own rhythm in things. So yes, say if you're at school and you've got to be at school at 7 o'clock in the morning, you've got to be at this class, at that class. What I enjoy seeing is the amount of countries in the world that are putting in moments of meditation in the classrooms, because there's a beautiful way of relaxing and finding your own rhythm, and from which you can go into your next classroom.
I think that is lovely. And years ago, it used to, for the little ones, they give them naps.
Yes.
So, and that is such a nice thing. So if we can occasionally, maybe even just on weekends, if we can ask ourselves, say to ourselves, let me one day a weekend or one day every 2 weekends, just say, I'm going to let my body just, let me just go to the natural rhythms. So like wake up when I want to wake up, go to bed when I want to go to bed. And that means the difficult thing with that is if you say go to bed when you want to go to bed, if it involves television, you may not find your natural rhythm.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned this in another podcast, but when I moved in with my son, when I was going through radiation and I had to sleep a lot, and I got into, I turned off the TV. That was 3 years ago. I haven't seen the television. And then I found what my natural rhythm was to heal through this was I get up as the sun comes up and I go to bed as the sun goes down. So where my rhythm is right now is I'm up at 5. I have energy. I take a shower. I meditate. I feed the cats. have my coffee and then begin the day. In the afternoon, my natural rhythm is around. It's actually very interesting. I wonder if this is something to ponder at some point. I think my pondering is, if you know the hour you were born is a low point, is a time when you need a nap. So I was born at 3:40 in the afternoon New York time. So at about that time here is when I feel I got to lie down just for a nap. And I feel so refreshed after that. So that would be about 1:30, you know, have a nap, 12:30, 1:30, something around there. And then I eat around 4:30 and I climb into bed with a book or an audible. And the cats at 6 o'clock. And sometimes the cats will wake me up and say, no, we want a snack before we go to sleep. So I will get out of bed and feed them. They come and nibble at my fingertips when they want to eat. What a lovely rhythm that has been. What a lovely rhythm that has been.
And that's one of the things we get. We were talking before about when we're small, we haven't been taught to think yet, and that happens as we grow older. And then as we age, we lose the ability to think in some cases. Not my grandmother didn't, but many people don't. Some people do more and more now because it's harder to get away from that concept.
Exactly, because, you know, I don't know, when I was growing up, everything was closed on Sunday. Sunday was a day off. Nobody worked on a Sunday. Nobody went to the markets on Sunday. You didn't go fill up on gas on Sunday because everything was closed on Sunday. And so Sunday was the day of, I remember, is it Sunday papers? You know, who got what in the Sunday papers? And you can spend the day in the pajamas if you want, go to church if you want. And then there was the Sunday meal, so it was a day to all eat together. We don't have that anymore. Everything's open and demanding of our attention at all times. So my whole thinking about this, it isn't. We can't wait for this to change, we have to create what we need to create in our lives.
And if we watch children who haven't, youngest children, before they're in school, and if we haven't really pushed them and let them be more natural, if you watch them, you'll see they have a rhythm.
Oh, yes.
They find their rhythm.
And they can sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they're just wonderful places that they can find when their rhythm slows down to curl up and go to sleep. And it's important to pay attention to that. Bring us back to that time.
So if we take maybe one day, sorry, every so often, and say to ourselves, let me just find my rhythm today. Mm-hmm. And initially it may be a little hard.
Now, let me just explore with you, because I know with you and your Bob, you have Sundays together. So that's sacrosanct. That's where you two spend your time together. Do you ever spend Sunday doing nothing together?
No, he's not the kind of person that likes to do nothing. But we do take more, and we've also got the farmer's market on Sundays, yeah, first thing, but that we love to go to. So mostly not. We may, it's just that the rhythm is more gentle. It's not like, okay, so we're having this lunch here or dinner here. It's more like, okay, so let's, what would we like to do? You know, let's do this. It's more, yeah, easygoing than it is when we're doing more business things, more weekday things. But it's possible to make a rhythm for yourself, I think, even if you are working. Work out how you can have the rhythm in the first hour or two that you get up. For me, I have a rhythm. If I have to, I want 2 hours before I have to do anything to meditate, to shower, to sit with the animals, to sit outside and look at the sky or with the trees. That for me, if I'm going to have to go, for example, to an airport, I will still get up 2 hours earlier to do that because I need that rhythm. It sets the rhythm for the day for me. Mm-hmm. If I jump and I can straight into having to do something or race out, then I find I'm less able to keep in balance and harmony myself.
Exactly. I feel exactly the same thing, which is where I can reach a level of frustration. I know I was so happy when my son got home after 4 months of traveling, and I was so happy. It was only 9:30 at the LAX that I had to pick him up instead of midnight, but I knew that I would have to rest that day because I wasn't going to be going to bed when the sun went down, that I had to, because I had to be awake to drive back,
you know? And it's a challenging drive,
and it is a challenging drive, and happy to have him back, and then saunter down and sleep, you know. But still, I get up at 5 o'clock. Got home at, 12:45, but I'm still up at 5 o'clock because the cats are hungry. And they are creatures of habit.
Yes, very much so. I have a bouncing chihuahua on the bed. She sleeps with us in the bed. So at 5 o'clock, she starts bouncing, no matter whether she's gone to bed at midnight or it's just fairly rare for us. But she gets kicks with her little back heels until she gets you up. So, yeah, the animals are very much keyed into their rhythms.
Right.
Most animals and most plants are keyed into
their rhythms,
into their natural
now,
rhythms,
and of course,
if you let them.
With my son coming back after 4 months away, There's a new person in the house, not a new person, but it's a shift in the house because there are two rhythms going, different waking hours, different maybe. Luke would want to feed them when he's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're out of their rhythm cycle and they don't like it. They don't like it. And then that's when they start arguing or, but we're getting back into it because the little one, you know, wakes me up at 5 o'clock biting my toes. He crawls under the blanket to get to my toes to bite them.
He's such a cute little kitty. He thinks you're a large cat. But it's so look at your day and say, okay, I've got in the morning I can have 2 hours, for example, or even an hour to work out what it is for me to get into a bit of a rhythm myself. How do I set my rhythm so that I can feel strong and balanced? Because if you set your rhythm in the morning, for me, if I set my rhythm in the morning, then I am able to be more balanced. I'm not saying all the time, but more balanced throughout the day. And then if I can have a bit of a natural rhythm at night, which means I like to, again, we don't do TV, but we do Netflix. So I like to stop everything at a certain time and just have at least an hour so that I can go sit outside or just do, you know, potter around.
Exactly. That's so important. The rhythm. That's so important. I need my 2 hours in the morning, so... and then in the afternoon, like when we were working at the Ojai Foundation, and we would get to the meditation at 7 o'clock in the morning, the gong would, and we would meditate for an hour, and that would be setting the rhythm. And then we'd go work the land, do whatever chores that needed, then we'd have a meal, then we'd go back and work the chores until 4 in the afternoon, when we would go back into the Dharma yurt and meditate for another hour, to mark the end of that rhythm of work, coming back into our own natural rhythm. And we were left to be in our own natural rhythm for cooking, for sharing a meal together, but we were back in our own rhythms. It's so important to do that.
Yeah, and you get used to it. Once you become conscious of it, you get used to finding little things that help you with the rhythm. It could even be at work that at 11 a.m. you have a cup of tea, or at 2 p.m. you have a little yogurt. Whatever it is, sometimes food and drink can help us to be in a rhythm too. Or you just find you do some breath at 2 o'clock, which is like a rhythm when you get tired. Work out what you can do to energize. Usually people get a slow down between 2 and 3, but if you, because of the because of the energy in their body, but if you can find a little bit of rhythm and become mindful of your natural rhythm, it's very helpful.
And that's what empowers you.
Yes,
that's what empowers you. That's what today in the Mayan calendar is about, that empowerment when we pay attention to our ancient cycles.
And everybody has them, and as everybody is similar but slightly different. It's the same with the animals. Mm-hmm. For Zoe, the Chihuahua, is definitely at 5. She starts bouncing. But the other little one, who's a mix, he could just sleep there until whoever gets up. He has a completely different rhythm. So it's fascinating to find your rhythm, and empowering to find your rhythm too.
I love you, Fiona.
I love you, Jill. This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on planet Earth.